The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway right here on Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM in Knoxville, online at foxsportsknoxville.com, your free Fan Run app. We've got a podcast brought to you by Disability Advantage Group, a variety of ways for you to experience the program here this afternoon. We welcome you in here on Tuesday. It is tournament week. We are counting down the days, I guess. Do we have playing games tonight?
We do.
Who plays tonight, Brandon?
Let's see. So, Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View A&M.
Fairleigh Dickinson? I feel like it. Is it Farley or Fairleigh? I feel like you're pronouncing that wrong.
It's Fairleigh Dickinson.
Fairleigh Dickinson?
Sure.
It sounds like we're... it's Fairleigh Dickinson. It's like... It's Fairleigh sounds cloudy. It sounds like an adjective, right?
It's Farley.
Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View.
But it's spelled Fair, F-A-I-R.
Prairie View, who beat Johnny Jones's Texas Southern boys to get there in the SWAC championship. And then, what, Arizona State and St. John's? Is that the other one?
No, Belmont and Temple.
Oh. Rick Byrd in his sweater vest trying to make the NCAA tournament proper. Do you consider this the NCAA tournament?
No.
It's the play-in game.
Yeah, it's not the tournament.
So you haven't made it until you win tonight.
Right.
Well, we will see. We will see. I like how they always have – you have the two 16-seed games and then an 11-seed game, which is pretty good. Like the 16-seed the 16-seed game is like two teams you've never heard of playing for the right to get slaughtered by Duke. And – it's like it's hard to get up for that. It's like you're happy for the kids or whatever, but it's just hard for me to watch. Like the 11 seed game, you're like, okay, you know, the team, like Tennessee went on a run from an 11 seed matchup in a play-in game.
So apparently somebody always does.
So it could happen. Yeah, VCU went. Didn't VCU go from the play-in to the Final Four 1 year under Shaka? Or am I making that up?
You might.
I know they went to the Final Four. I don't know if they came all the way from the play-in game.
But apparently every year somebody in the play-in game, so I guess it's since they've added the 11s.
Who do you think is most likely from the play-in game to go furthest, Belmont, Temple, Arizona State, or St. John's?
I want to say St. John's, but I think that's just more because they're St. John's.
Yeah.
Who do they play? If they win, who do they play in the second round?
Great question, Brandon. Let me scan the brackets. They would play Buffalo, who is a kind of a media darling.
We're a media darling right now.
We are. It's weird. I feel like – and it's a weird position to be in because, like, we're used to being, you know, crapped upon by the national media, right? We're used to being the – what's the word I'm looking for? The spoiler, the underdog, we're Rodney Dangerfield at the country club, right? Yeah, we don't belong. People don't like us. And to be the team that everybody is picking to go to the Final Four, and I mean everybody, nobody thinks Virginia's going to the Final Four out of the South.
Which kind of makes me think Virginia's probably going to make it out of our region.
I don't know about that, but I do feel like, me personally, I say this, I filled out my bracket this morning, I think. Or was it yesterday? I don't know. This kind of week, you know, it just the days run together. Not a lot of sleep happening this week. I have Tennessee in the Final Four. Am I the only one who's done the bracket here in the drive? Brandon, you've probably done a bracket. Bear, I know there's no chance you've done a bracket.
I've done Thursday morning.
I've done a bracket, but I've not.
You haven't done your King of the Brackets bracket?
No.
King of the Brackets, the bracket, the bracket.
I just wrote the first. I picked the first game on this year's bracket.
Because, see, I don't like to pick until after the play-in games. Because sometimes I like the play-in. I like the team that might make it. I like
to see them play and kind of get a feel.
Yeah, like I think Belmont could beat Maryland if they win, but they got to win this one first.
I could see that.
It'd be a bold statement by Ricky Bird.
Just always wondered what would have happened if we had gone out there and hired Ricky Bird instead of Donnie Tindall that year that Pearl left. Because he would still be here, right? I mean, he's not going to take the Tindall one-and-done route. He'd still be here. I don't know how much success he would have had.
He'd be chugging along.
I think he'd have done all right
this year.
Yeah. I think he'd be
– I think we'd have a very respectable program.
Me too.
And he'd never embarrass us like, you know, the last several did, including Bruce Pearl.
If we get beat, if we don't make it out of this weekend, if we're doing a show Monday eulogizing this season – what does that mean?
It means you and Brandon are going to be talking to Rick because I'm going to take a day off. I'm not going to be able to handle it.
Really? You're going to leave us hanging?
Yeah. You've had your meltdown after the Kentucky loss at Rupp.
If we don't get out of the second round, you'll consider this season a failure?
No, but I will be probably all
inconsolable?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would be right there on the verge of considering it a failure.
We have 6 games left. Anything else is not an option. It's
just
not on the table for me right now.
If you don't make it out of this weekend, you have nothing to show for it. You had an SEC regular season championship that you let slip out of your hands. You had an SEC tournament championship that you let slip out of your hands. You have the best team in at least 10 years.
One of the best in school history, or so we thought. I mean,
and if you don't get out of this weekend – the only thing that's going to be hanging in Thompson Bowling Arena is an NCAA tournament appearance.
Yeah, and that would be – I don't know if it's a failure, but it's pretty darn close. I mean,
it wouldn't be. You two kill me. You're not going to have any memories this season?
No, I would.
These guys? I mean, I'd hate it for the guys.
What I was about to say is it – I don't know if it's a failure. It's pretty darn close. It would certainly be a disappointing – fizzle out kind of end to the season.
I agree with that.
Like it would not be when you think of this season, like the 08 season is a perfect example. We scaled the mountain that year. We beat Memphis and became number one for about 72 hours.
Right.
But when I think of that season, I think of that game as that's the first thing I think about when I think of that season. The second thing I think about is we flamed out in the NCAA tournament. We made the Sweet 16, but we limped into the Sweet 16, barely getting by Butler in the second round, and then getting it really handed to us by Patino and Louisville.
That was
in
your Patino
the Sweet 16,
us, right?
Oh yeah, I mean just put it on us. That was Lofton and Juwan's last game.
Year?
Who? Patino and them? In 08? I don't recall. But
I mean, I agree.
It'll be the same thing. If we don't get out of this weekend, I think the first thing people will remember are just more than any specific game, maybe just the fact that we were number one for a month. They'll remember the 2019 team as the team that was number one for a month. But the second thing they'll remember is that we petered out and didn't have a great postseason.
Maybe it's just different for me, but I'll always, no matter what happens in the tournament, I'll always remember this team. The first thing I remember about them is they're the group, this crew, that resurrected Tennessee basketball and put it back to where we were, our trajectory was when Bruce was here during the heyday. I'll always have a special place in my heart.
I think that it is it remains to be seen, right? Because, you know, if we lose this weekend, there'd be a lot of people disappointed. And a lot of people have disappointing memories of this team. If we make it to the Final Four, I think that obviously that changes the narrative and it's its own thing. This will be the 2019 Final Four team. That will be the narrative around this team. If we lose between, if we don't go to the Final Four, if we get out of this first weekend, but we don't go to the Final Four, and we lose in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, then it gets really cloudy. I mean, then it's really subjective. It's really up to you whether or not you consider this season a success or you don't. So much out there hanging in the balance for Tennessee. Volunteers will head out for Columbus tomorrow. I believe Trey Wallace is heading out as well. He's going to be covering it for Fan Run. We will be at Elkmont Exchange Thursday and Friday for the first round of the NCAA tournament proper. Hope you can come out and see us at Elkmont Exchange. We got a lot to get to, folks. Let's dive right in. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Back with more of The Drive after this. All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you as always by our friends over at the Kregner Group. More individual honors for Grant Williams. Grant earning recognition for his impressive season once again today, being named to the 2019 Citizen Naismith Trophy Men's Player of the Year finalist list by the Atlanta Tip-Off Club. He is one of four players on the list, joining Duke's Zion Williamson, Gonzaga's Rui Hachimura, and Murray State's Ja Morant.
I am looking forward to seeing the Morant kid play. Have you watched any of him?
Oh, yeah.
Is he as good as everybody says he is?
I mean, he is explosive, man. I mean, he's just like he's shot out of a cannon with the basketball. I watched their game against Belmont in the championship, I guess, of the OVC, and it was weird, man, because it's like he's all they've got, you know? I mean, he is – the rest of their, like, they've got this big fat kid on their team. I mean, like, 300 pounds, just chubby. And, like, it's weird because he's obviously, like, a high-level Power 5 player, NBA-type prospect. And he's just the best.
Team.
Yeah, just the best player on the court, on either team. So
can you start for us?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, he's being looked at as maybe one of the top two or three overall picks in the draft. But, I mean, just to be – like, those are the four big names in college basketball this year, right?
Morant, Williams.
Zion, Hachimura, Morant, and Grant. Like, is there anybody else that – I mean, there are certainly stars and everything, but, I mean, Grant to be in
– I mean, Reddish is disappointed.
In that group –
the other two Duke lottery picks have looked really pedestrian without Zion.
I mean,
North Carolina, but I can't even remember his name.
Do what now?
North Carolina, they're a real shaggy-haired kid they've got.
Oh, Kobe?
Yeah. Is that it?
Is it Kobe Wright? The point guard, yeah, he's good. He's a nice player. Wow. I don't know if Grant wins it, but just to be there, you know, one of the last four players standing for that award is – he might win it, man. I mean, Zion might win it just based on name recognition. I don't think Hachimura is going to win it. I don't think Morant's going to win it. I think it's probably between Grant and Zion.
Yeah. I feel like Grant probably deserves it. I'm going to say something controversial. What would you think if I told you that I feel like Grant's kind of like the Tim Tebow of college basketball? He's the best college basketball player, but that might not translate into having a great NBA career.
I mean, yeah, I could kind of see it. It's pretty good. It's an interesting comparison. Tebow played 4 years, though, and
that's just because Josh McDaniels was dumb enough to draft him in the first round. What, he won a playoff game with Tomlin?
No, I'm saying like he was a 4 year guy, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to. And I don't know, maybe Grant comes back. What do you guys think right now? I'm kind of leaning towards Grant taking off.
I think he comes back.
That's where I've been leaning all year. Unless he just wins every award and they come back and tell him, yeah, you're going to get drafted somewhere around 20 and get guaranteed money. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows about I don't know. Obviously, education's really important to his family. I don't know. Has he graduated yet?
Yeah, I don't know. That would probably figure into it as well. I'm sure he wants to, and if he's super smart, you know, maybe he does it in 3 years. Kyle Alexander did it in 3 years. You know, maybe he decides, I'm good here. Lady Vols have made every NCAA tournament in the tournament's history. 38 consecutive postseason bids for the Lady Vols, and they will play 6-seed UCLA in College Park, Maryland, 1 p.m. on Saturday. Game will be televised by ESPN2. Maryland is the 3-seed there. They'll meet 14-seed Radford, and then Tennessee might be playing Maryland in a road game in the second round if they can upset UCLA. What's that grin about?
That's a big if.
Are you on Bears' side? Are you pulling against our Lady Vols right now? I mean,
no, I'm
we're
not.
The Tennessee Lady Vols. Side?
I'm not pulling against them. I'm just saying it's a big if.
Yeah, it's a big if. We'll see. Meanwhile, number 22 Baseball Vols look to rebound from a tough weekend series at Auburn. They play at ETSU tonight in Johnson City, 6 p.m. first pitch. As Tony Vitello's squad trying to snap a 3-game losing skid. All right, that is your Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by the Craigner Group. If you're thinking about moving this year, the best way to get started is with a phone call to Bo Craigner at the Craigner Group. Bo and his team will come over to your house, take a look around, tell you exactly what you need to do before you list your home so that you can get it sold quickly and move on to your new home. It's quick, it's easy, and best of all, it's free. That's right. The consultation doesn't cost a dime. What are you waiting for? Call the Craigner Group today at 865-742-1035 or just go online to BoKnowsHouses.com. Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group. List it, sell it, and move on. All right, 865-546-8200. Your number, Brandon will greet you as you call in this afternoon, 546-8200. If you want to jump on the drive here this afternoon, Bear has been barreling through Game of Thrones. He's almost caught up now. Have you made it to the final season? The
final episode of season 6.
Oh, so you got one more season to
just
go.
Just finished the Battle of the...
The Battle of the Bastards.
Yes.
Now, are you – so you're banging out like 7 or 8 episodes a night, man. I mean, you are deep in it. How many episodes have you watched since 6 o'clock last night when we get off the air?
6.
You spent over six hours watching Game of Thrones?
I finally had to tell you, he got like – God, was it not Monday before last where I was like a zombie? Like most of the show, it's because I slept 1 hour the night before because I'd stayed up watching Game of Thrones. And then, you know, we talked that night and I was like, ah, man, I'm going to have to go ahead and admit the rest while I was like a zombie.
That pace is unsustainable, though, because you've been doing that. You said you slowed down to 6 hours, which means you've been watching more.
No, I'd slowed way down. Like, I didn't watch any. I watched, like, one a day for several days because I've been working so much. But I had the morning off. So I was able to stay up a little bit later last night. And then I got up and watched a bunch this morning while I was just lounging around.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to go too fast. You're going to forget. I mean, it's like information overload.
I think I can get a rewatch in before season 8 starts.
Wait, you're going to start? You're just like going to go straight back to the beginning and watch it again?
Yeah, to see what I missed.
What do you mean what you missed? You've been watching it for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know, but I've been watching it at a fierce rate.
It is a fierce rate. I don't know how you keep that up, how you sustain that.
I got something we got to talk about. I'm wondering if this is really who they're saying it is in this video. Has somebody sent this to you yet, this video of Zion Williamson from 3 years ago?
No.
Fighting like 8 people outside a club and knocking out 3 of them?
I saw the video.
Wow.
Age 15?
Yeah, somebody just sent it to me too. And do the play-by-play.
Oh, dude, he's got it right.
I'm guessing we don't need to... says Zion Williamson caught outside a club fighting 5 people 3 years ago. This dude's got hands.
Yeah, he's got a lot of – he
body
been,
slams one guy. He's surrounded by guy. Five people. He's throwing punches.
He's trying to stay out of it. Looks like somebody's wearing a Tennessee sweatshirt there holding him back.
Oh, mean right cross.
Look at that. I mean, this guy's like throwing bombs on him, and he's not even phasing him.
What's a 16-year-old kid doing fighting 15. A bunch of grown men outside a club like this?
I have no idea.
They are running up just throwing haymakers at him.
That guy. That guy's doing the thing where you see the NFL players that get hit in the head real hard and their arms just sit straight up and twitch.
Wow. I mean, are people trying to, like, this is 3 years ago. Like, who cares at this point, right?
I don't know. I don't think it hurt his job. My God.
I mean.
Could you imagine him coming off the defensive end?
Ooh. I know, this might come as a shock to people. Zion Williamson, good at fighting. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought a 6'8", 280-pound human being would be really good at beating other people up?
Watch this video. You know who he reminds me of, Russ?
Kind of like
the Mountain.
I was going to go a young Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar, Shaquille O'Neal, just guys that why you would, unless somebody had a gun to your mom's head, why you would willingly go up and want to mix it up with this guy?
Yeah,
bunch
of idiots trying to fight Zion Williamson. Chip says, come on, that's not Zion. It's a grown man that looks like him. Don't get caught up in the madness. I'm not getting caught up in the madness. Like, I don't care if it's him. Like, I mean, they say
whoever
that,
it is, this guy's a badass.
Like, he didn't kill anybody. Like, those people, that looks like self-defense to me. Like, he's trying to walk away at several points, and these people just keep following him and throwing punches at him. And, like, sorry,
he's defending himself.
If it's not Zion, I don't care.
I feel like this would have come out before now if that was really Zion.
Yeah, maybe.
It's had 2.2 million views.
Maybe. All right, let's get a quick break in here. We'll come right back. Go to these phones, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Hi, Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question. How do you feel about Tennessee's basketball season so far? Give you four choices here. Excellent, good, disappointing, or incomplete?
I will go incomplete.
Incomplete in what way? Like, season's not over, we can't make an honest assessment of it?
Yeah, it's incomplete. You haven't made up your mind yet.
I'm good, borderline excellent, but a little bit incomplete thrown in there. I've been building towards the NCAA tournament the whole year.
Mine is right now disappointing, good, but I'm going incomplete depending on what they do. I mean, if they flame out in the first round, I said it earlier.
We aren't flaming out in the first round, you Nancy boy.
Oh,
I'm just saying, if they do, the guys.
It's been a hell of a ride this year, boys.
Nobody thinks that, though, right? I mean, are you worried about losing Friday?
No, not Friday.
That'd be the most Drive thing ever. We're committed to doing voluntary reaction, us flame out in the first round.
If we lose to Colgate Friday, and by the way, no show on Friday because the game tips off at 2:45, the three of us will be live with you as soon as it's over for voluntary reaction here on Fan Run. If we lose, and yeah, we will burn it down. We will absolutely burn the Fan Run studios to the ground. Bring your couches, because it is on. That's what happens Friday if we don't get this thing done.
If we get beat by the toothpaste team.
Yeah, that can't happen. Cannot happen. How do you feel about UT's basketball season so far? Just went live on Twitter. 51 votes cast, so less than 1% of precincts reporting. Excuse me. 57% of the audience says good. 24% says excellent. 10% says disappointing. And 9% say incomplete. So we will watch to see how those change as more votes rolling in as we speak this afternoon. At Fox Sports Knox on Twitter, if you want to chime in there. Let's go to the phones, take the pulse of the people this afternoon. Josh is up first today on The Drive. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Russ, Bear, Brandon, what's going on, guys?
What up, man?
Hey, not a whole lot. I would say excellent. And that Kentucky game, Russell, is my favorite basketball, UT basketball game of all time. I would say it's one of the top five UT sports memories for me of all time. But,
wow.
I rank it that high.
Go on, an 18-3 run to beat them?
Now let me ask you this, Josh. If we had beaten Auburn and cut down the nets on Sunday, would it be – I mean, you said it's your favorite game of all time. Like, how would that – that would make it better, right?
Well, yeah, it would, but when I look back, it's kind of like 0-1 Florida. I don't remember we screwed that season up, but I remember how damn sweet it was.
That's a what a great comparison. The 0-1 Florida game.
The only thing compared that I found that could compare it to would be the 0-1 Florida game. And I think had we gone on and beaten Auburn, it'd be real similar to the Miracle on Ice. Like, nobody remembers that was a semifinal game. We didn't win the gold medal until we beat Finland. But all anybody remembers about that is us beating the Soviet Union. I think it'd be a lot like that. Like, yeah, that'd be the year we cut the nets down. And it might be a little bit bigger story because it's Bruce Pearl in Auburn, but all anybody remembers is that we dusted Kentucky, went on that 18-3 run.
Yeah, that's my one memory that I'll take away from this year, whatever happens. But, I mean, who's to say they can't top that, you know? I know that's a big ask, but if we get to the Final Four, man, I mean, that's stuff like that doesn't happen to us around here. So, this team's special, man. We need to enjoy them.
Yeah.
They're blessing, you know. Anyway, you guys take care. See you.
Thank you, Big Josh. Appreciate it, my man.
Be careful.
I mean, the tournament always, when you go to the NCAA tournament, that largely defines the season. I mentioned the 08 team as an example. Everybody will point towards beating Memphis and being number one as the number one memory. I feel like people remember that more than losing to Louisville in the Sweet 16. Don't you?
Yeah, probably. I do think you're a little bit hard on them for, what'd you call it, limping past Butler when it was, I mean, it was Brad Stevens and Butler. It was when they were kind of getting their start as being a powerhouse.
Yeah, but they... I don't know. I'd have to go back and
remember. Brad Stevens coached the Boston Celtics now, isn't he?
I understand. It's not remember. He does, like, currently is the coach of the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. I heard that. We were the higher seed, though. Like, we were supposed to win that game. It's disappointing. When you're number one for the first time in school history and you have the kind of roster we did, like, that team should have been a Final Four team, in my opinion.
If they had made the Final Four, you think there's any way we would have gotten rid of Pearl?
Yes, because I think the leadership structure, or more to the point, the leadership vacuum that was in place at UT at the time of the barbecue and the NCAA investigation, they weren't going to tell Pearl that the NCAA had the goods on him. So he was destined to go in there and lie, and we were destined to fire him. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I don't think nobody's going to keep a coach with a 3-year show cause when he's been to a Final Four or not. I don't see any pro. It's never happened before. Nobody is going to just put their basketball program on hold for 3 years and let a guy's assistant run it for 3 years until the guy comes back. That's not going to happen, man. Kentucky wouldn't do it for Cal. Kentucky wouldn't just, like, sit around for 3 years, Calipari come back while Tony Barbie leads the program for 3 years.
To coach at all.
No, it's a show cause. He can't coach. It would have been Tony Jones as your head coach for 3 years. I know there's some Pearlites out there who are like, that's fine. Should have done that. We wouldn't have hired Konzo and Donnie. But no school is going to do that. It's just not going to happen. It's fantasy. So anyway, I think that, you know, we remember all these NCAA tournament losses, right? I remember losing to, what was it, Southeast Missouri State 1 year with Jerry Green.
Oh, God. I'd forgotten all about that one.
We lost to
the first. Is that the one where Tony Harris went like 0-for from three?
The first year we lost in the first round to Southern Illinois, the Salukis, with Kevin Stallings as their coach. The year after he had turned us down.
I remember that. The Salukis.
Then I think Green's third year, that was the year we made the Sweet 16 run and got beat by North Carolina in the Sweet 16 in Austin. And then the next year, we lost in the first round, I want to say, to Oklahoma State. And Jerry was gone because he had told the fans to go to Walmart. Or Kmart, if they don't like it. Kmart was still a thing back then. Then we went 4 years with Buzz, where there was no Buzz. And then Bruce Pearl came in 2005, and starting 2006, we went to the NCAA tournament 6 straight times. Let's see if we can remember the 6 tournament trips under Pearl. The first year, 2-seed beat Winthrop, lost to Wichita.
Go to Wichita.
The second year, we beat, was it Long Beach State, Virginia, and then we lost to Ohio State and Greg Oden in the Sweet 16. The third year was the
Louisville.
Yeah, that was the Louisville Sweet 16 loss. The fourth year was, we lost to Oklahoma State that year too, right? In the first round.
2009, 2010. Is that right?
I think 08, 09.
08, 09?
Yeah.
In the round of 64?
I think so. I think we lost in the first round that year.
Those are the worst, aren't they?
Yeah, that was disappointing. And then, because 2010 was the Elite Eight year, that's his fifth year. That was the year we beat Ohio State in the Elite Eight, lost to Michigan or Ohio State in the Sweet 16, lost to Michigan State in the Elite Eight. And then 2011 was his last year. We got just trounced by Michigan in the first round. 2-year absence, year 3 under Konzo, go to the play-in game. We beat. Who do we beat, Brandon? Mercer?
We beat Iowa in the play-in.
Iowa? Then Mercer?
Mercer upset.
No,
dude.
Iowa, then Mercer, yeah. UMass.
Iowa, UMass, then Mercer. And we lost to Michigan.
On a bad, bad call.
In the Sweet 16.
Jarnella just dished it to Jordy Mack.
And then last year was our first year back since that call.
Wright State.
Wright State.
Loyola Chicago.
Oh, man. Colgate, Red Raiders, here we come. We want you. We want you, Colgate. Aquafresh is better. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the drive this afternoon, 546-8200. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more right after this on the drive. Eric on Twitter asked if we've heard any rumors about Holly Warlick stepping down. We heard all kinds of rumors about Holly Moorlich.
I'd be a little upset, to tell you the truth, Russ.
You would not. It would be interesting. I mean, I just don't see her walking away from the money, right? They're going to have to negotiate some sort of settlement, whether that's paying her half of what, you know, something like that for her to go away, or getting her some sort of job in the athletics department where she can continue to work and help out and collect her money, something like that. I don't see her just walking away, though.
I mean, yeah, I totally see her being a senior administrator in the athletic department, kind of between Fulmer and the, you know.
Does Krona, is she still there?
Didn't she have an emeritus position? Some sort, I thought.
Well, somebody over there, their title is like senior woman administrator, which it seems like a weird title, but like that was
when they dissolved when they broke down the wall between the women's and the men's athletic departments.
Well, they had like, before that, they had like 30 assistant athletic directors, and Dave Hart came in with a machine gun and cleared all that out. Hurt a lot of feelings in the process, but it probably needed to be done. And he was the hit man. He came in here and put a couple of hits out.
Yeah, but it could have been done. Maybe it couldn't have. I always felt like it could have been done with not just with a machine gun the way he did it.
A gentler edge.
Yeah,
I think it was going to be tough. But they can make a job for Holly. They make a job for Holly. Give her something to do. Got some breaking news here this afternoon. Let's head to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk. Tate Martell, the 2016 Gatorade High School Football Player of the Year who transferred to Miami from Ohio State in January, has been granted his waiver request by the NCAA to play for the Hurricanes immediately today by the NCAA. It's the first day of spring practice down there. So here's my question. They obviously tried to push this through to get him ready for the first day of spring practice at Miami. What about our guys? They're saying this. We all know Aubrey Solomon could be a potential impact player in the defensive line. They're saying this kid from Georgia, D'Angelo Gibbs, saying he's a stone-cold baller. And we moved him to receiver, and I don't know if you've seen some of the video and stuff, but he looks the part.
Yeah, he's this is Nigel Warrior's first cousin, Dale Carter's nephew. Not going to be surprised if he's just a baller.
Can we hurry it up a little bit here, NCAA? Can we get these guys good to go? Go ahead and get them cleared? I mean, I guess they're practicing. It doesn't really matter. There's not a huge rush, but we'd like to go ahead and have that cleared. It seems like like Fields has already been cleared at Ohio State, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. It was a while back.
So Martell's clear at Miami. Feels like there was somebody else notable who's gotten cleared. It's like the NCAA is going in rubber stamping these things. Like, let's go ahead and rubber stamp our guys too.
Yeah. Solomon and Gibbs.
I got to feel like that might be worth an extra win or two this season. If we have both those guys and they're both impact players.
Yeah, I mean, especially Solomon with us being so thin and just working in new guys on the defensive line. I think he's,
I mean, Solomon's
at least to me, most important.
He was outstanding his freshman year at Michigan.
You guys see the point spreads that Odd Shark released today?
I did.
We're 14.5 underdog, yeah. The Gators?
Yeah. You think we cover that? You probably think we – Barometer probably thinks we win the game. It's just Florida in the swamp. I mean, what could go wrong? 14.5 is a big line, bro. It's not like Florida was that good last year, were they? Am I? What they go 8-4?
I thought they went 9-3.
I thought they went 9-3.
10-3 with their bowl win.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think we're gonna beat Florida in the swamp next year. I'll go ahead and put it on. Yeah, I'll put it out there. I'm currently sitting at 10-2 right now.
barometer at 10-2, Georgia and Bama.
So what's going to be your how are you going to back out of this whenever it goes wrong like you did last year?
I mean, last year.
Last year,
he just like says, I guess I'm wrong.
No, last year he came up with this theory that the roster was talented. He thought he just needed a better coach.
And then I found out not only did we need a better coach, our roster was kind of bad too.
So do you have a theory?
Not yet.
Not yet? Still working on it?
In my laboratory, yes, I am.
You should just go with the it's year two in the system theory. That's always good. Year two in the system. Our guys know what to do now. They didn't understand the system last year. Now they do.
I feel like he'd be arriving a year early if he hits it this year, which would be good.
Wait, if 10-2 is the expectation, but you don't think he's quote unquote arriving yet, then we're going to go 12-0 in 2020.
No, I said 10-2 would be arriving early.
So you think we are going to arrive early?
I think we could.
The barometer is so confusing.
I think we could, Russ.
Such a confusing
gauge. I'm immersed myself in Tennessee basketball right now. We've just started spring practice. I haven't really taken a look at it. If you guys want me to, I can shift gears right here before the tournament and spend the rest of the week and the weekend preparing for getting the barometer dusted off, and I'll tell you what I really think.
How long does it take?
I got to study the roster. I got to study the schedule.
Florida is an 8.5-point favorite over Miami. Florida must be pretty good. See, I know what we've got. I always know what we got. I don't know what everybody else has at this point. Those magazines will come out here in a month or two after spring practice. Then I'll know what everybody else has.
You'll be waiting at the grocery store, won't you?
Love the magazines. Still got last year's on my little my table.
Credenza?
Next to what?
A credenza.
What's a credenza?
It's a small table.
My credenza. My little end table next to my chair, next to my throne. The throne.
The iron throne.
Auburn's a 3-point favorite over Oregon. South Carolina, 7-point favorite over North Carolina. I like it when South Carolina and North Carolina play. Game should be played on a Thursday in Charlotte, first week of the season. Should be the first game. Like when they do that.
I'm tired of the neutral site games, Russ. I hate them. Home and homes.
LSU opens up as a 7-point favorite over Texas. I believe that game is being played in Austin. It's a heck of a game, man. Tigers and the Longhorns in Austin?
You think Orgeron and – I know LSU fans probably be getting up for that game, but think LSU, the team, and Orgeron might have a little bit of chip on their shoulder with Herman passing up LSU.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I don't think 19, 20-year-old kids think like that. All they know is Orgeron. Oh, yeah, I'm sure at the fans it's huge. But it's like I was talking with Trey and Chance yesterday on It's Optional about, do we think that Tennessee's players were pressing because they wanted to defeat Pearl? And I just don't think our players on this year's team, I don't think they think anything about that. You know, that's ancient history to them. If it's even history, there are probably some kids who may only be passingly aware that Bruce Pearl was ever coach here. Like, I just don't think that's something that they care about at all. A&M is Clemson is a 21-point favorite over Texas A&M. 21 points!
They got Trevor Lawrence. Most of that team's coming back. They'll have some players to replace on that. I mean, basically their whole front.
It is in Clemson, though, right? But, I mean, like, Jimbo took them to the – he took them to the limit down there in College Station this year.
Yeah, and they were playing – Kelly Bryant started that game, remember?
And Kelly Bryant was pretty good. It's not like
he's not Trevor Lawrence.
But it – He's not Trevor Lawrence from a potential standpoint, but it's not like Trevor Lawrence took over and they shot up. I mean, they were pretty
put Trevor
even.
Lawrence in the game. He immediately was like a minute and 45 drive, and he scored a touchdown first time he touched the ball. Just admit that you were wrong, Russ. I'm right. Happens a lot. It's okay.
No.
It's the end of hour one. The drive will be back. More with hour two next.
USC is a 4-point favorite over Stanford. Notre Dame plays at Georgia this year. The Bulldogs are an 11.5-point favorite over the Irish. Got some more of these lines coming up. Hour number two of The Drive. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.